Okay. I'd like for you to open your Bibles to John chapter 3. That really is what I'm going to teach tonight. Deb and I had spent some time with some folks that are Christian. Wonderful, wonderful folks. But just because of teaching and so on, it was actually kind of astounding to me how everything was oriented toward the flesh. It was really sad, actually. It was very sad. You know, what I do, what I don't do. You know, the thought that you can lose salvation. Oh, God. And really the result of all that, it's really a bondage. And it's always a tragedy to me because, well, it's like we heard in Manifestations, Jesus Christ paid the price. And to think that I could undo that which God has done or that which God has accomplished, that which God has longed for, is to, on its surface, make myself bigger than God. Logically. Is it not? Mm-hmm. If I can undo that which God has done? My goodness. See? And beyond that, it belittles God. God's word says that God is love. He is love. Everything he's done, everything that he will do, is rooted in love. It is out of love. And to say otherwise, or to say that, you know, God is an angry God, or God is, you know, restricted or constricted by my flesh, or by my weakness, or by my shortcomings, is to make God a very, very small God. Is it not? Absolutely. And then the result of that is, it's all put on me. Rather than giving glory to God, it's on me. It's on what I do or I don't do. Right? That's kind of heavy. You know, a lot of us have kids. You know, you realize as that child grows, they're watching you, right? They're watching you. And that's a responsibility. You know, it's something that you just got to be aware of, because they're watching you. You know, think about our relationship with God. You know, it's just a God who is love. And so it's just always tragic. And we're just going to look at some simple scriptures tonight. These are basic, basic truths that we know. It's certainly not going to do us harm to look at them. Because what we're going to read tonight is that God who is love. And that's the God, our Father, that we pray to. That's the God that we look to. That's the God that we rely on. And he's love. It's what he is. And I wanted to start here in John chapter 3. Let's read verse 16, but then we're going to go back and look at some of the context. In verse 16, everybody knows this verse, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. For God so loved the world. And world here is put for the people that are in it. He so loved the world that he gave so that we would have what? Everlasting life. That believeth on him. That's the requirement, believing on him. But I want to go back to verse 1. It says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. He was likely, I believe, he was a part of the Sanhedrin, the ruling body. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again or born from above, that's what that word again means, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, Well, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? This guy really didn't understand. Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That water refers to the flesh, your first birth. We'll see that in a moment here. Oh, it says it in the next verse. That which is born of the what?
Flesh.
Flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. Then King James, it's a little tough to understand. I have a much better translation here. And it reads, the Spirit breathes where he wills. Okay? And his voice you hear, but you do not know from whence it comes and where it goes. So it is with everybody that is born of God. Isn't that neat? Or so that everybody are born of God or born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Are you a man? And Jesus answered and said unto him, You're a master of Israel and you don't know these things? Verily, verily, I say to thee, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and you receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? Now, verse 13, we're going to read it in a moment. Narrative insertion. Okay? The Gospel of John was written after Jesus Christ said these things. You understand? So you have two of them right in this section. So I'm going to skip the narrative insertions and show you the flow of what it is Jesus Christ spoke. If I have told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Verse 17. 16 is another one. For God sent not his Son into the world to what? To condemn the world. But that the world through him might be saved. Now back up in verse 13. It says, And no man ascends up to heaven, but he that came down or out from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Jesus Christ had risen from the dead and had ascended by the time the Gospel of John was written. And in verse 16 is another narrative insertion. Okay, Jesus Christ didn't speak these words that we read in verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Back to verse 18. He that believes on him is not condemned or guilty. But he that believes not is condemned or guilty what?
Already.
Because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Right? And this is the condemnation or the justice or the judgment, that light is come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Jesus Christ came not into the world to condemn the world. He came into the world to save the world. That's why God sent a son. That was the whole point. See? Now there are those today that talk about being condemned by Jesus Christ or by those who believe on Jesus Christ. They're already condemned. Do you understand? Light makes manifest what? And you're going to see that. You're going to see that in life as you speak God's word. See? But God's heart is that people come and call on the name of Jesus Christ. That they be saved. Not to condemn. He never sent a son to condemn. And we don't condemn. Isn't that something? I want you to turn to Psalm 103. Psalm 103 is a great psalm. Psalm 103. Verse 1, we're going to start. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is in within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all thine iniquities, who heals all thy diseases, who redeems thy life from destruction or sudden destruction in the Hebrew, who crowns thee with loving kindness and tender mercies or tender compassion. Isn't that beautiful? That's our God. Who satisfies or fills thy mouth with good things so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. What a great verse that is. There was an eagle in the east. Some of you are aware of this. That I forget what they were called. But they would dive at incredible speeds into water, and all their feathers would come off. And then they'd crawl under a rock, and they'd have all new feathers. That's what this is referring to. He fills my mouth with good things. I heard somebody say the other day, they were complaining about some things that were going on physically, and, you know, whatever. And they said, boy, if it weren't for complaints, we wouldn't have anything to talk about. I thought, wow. God's word satisfies our mouth with good things so that our youth is what?
Renewed.
Isn't that incredible? Where I can claim God's word. I can claim God's word. See? That's not a little thing. The Lord executes righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He makes known his ways unto Moses. He made known his ways unto Moses. And his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in what? Mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He's not dealt with us after or according to our sins. Thank God. Nor rewarded us according to our what? Wow. God doesn't deal with us that way. Sometimes people deal with themselves that way. But that's not of God. That's not who God is. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that what? Fear him, reverence him. The word fear is reverence. So great is his mercy toward them that reverence him. As far as the east is from the west. How far is that? A long way. So far has he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children. And that word pitieth, it's a word that means, it doesn't mean feel sorry for. It means a compassion issuing from great love. That's the word pitieth here. It's a compassion issuing from great love because he knows our frame. He knows. He knows we're flesh. He gets it. He gets it. Isn't that wonderful? And so he doesn't deal with us according to that. He pities them that reverence him, for he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passes over it, and it's gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that what? Fear him, reverence him, and his righteousness unto children's children. See, his mercy is forevermore unto them that reverence him. Look at Colossians chapter 3. This is our loving Heavenly Father. Colossians chapter 3, verse 10. I'm sorry, chapter 2, verse 10. Verse 10 says, and you are complete. You are complete in him, referring to Jesus Christ. Colossians 2, verse 10. You are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. You're complete. We heard that in Manifestations, didn't we? See? What he has done is done. In whom you are also, you are circumcised. And the circumcision made with the circumcision made without hands, in the putting off of the body of the sins, is not in the text. It should read, in putting off the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the believing of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. See, through the believing in the power of God, who hath raised him from the dead. How do we get saved? How do we get that salvation? We confess Jesus as Lord, and we believe that God what? Right. We believe on that. See, that's the believing in the operation of God. Isn't that awesome? And we have all that. When we do that, we are complete in him. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened or made alive together with him, having forgiven you what? All trespasses. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. See? And that's referring to that Eastern idiom. When a man owed a lot of debt and was going bankrupt, it was a great disgrace. It's not like it is today. But back then, it was a great disgrace. It was horrible. And what they would do is they would take and list this on the city wall. They would put this man's name on the city wall, and then they would list all of his debts and who he owed. It was terrible. It was an embarrassment. It was a shame. The guy, there was no hiding. This wasn't done in secret. See? And then oftentimes they would have to go into service to be able to repay these debts. It was a different time. It was a heavy thing. And this blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, what they would do is, and there's a verse that refers to this specifically, and I believe it's in Isaiah, where he gave us double for all our sins. Sounds pretty bad, doesn't it? But what it means is if somebody came along, a benefactor, and said, I'm going to take care of this man's debt, what they would do is they would take that paper and they would fold it in half, double it. And then they would pin it shut. And he was relieved. Isn't that something? Because he paid the debt. That's what Jesus Christ did. See, he blotted out that handwriting of ordinances that was against us, and he nailed it to his cross. Isn't that awesome? That's our God. That's what's been done for us. I want you to turn to Romans chapter 4. What a great section of the word this is. We're just going to read a couple of verses. Romans chapter 4, verse 6. Verse 6, it's talking about Abraham and how believing, or righteousness was counted unto him for believing. And in verse 6 it says, even as David also describes the happy blessing. That's that word, blessedness. It's the word for happy blessing. Even as David also described the happy blessing of the man unto whom God imputes righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute or account or keep accounting of or keep a record of sin. Blessed is that man. Isn't that something? David prophesied about that. Blessed is that man whom the Lord doesn't impute or count or keep a record of sin. See, he was prophesying of a time in the future. You and I are among those that he prophesied of. We are among those who have the happy blessing of not having sin accounted to us that David looked forward to. Isn't that something? 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And so it's always tragic when you see a Christian, somebody who has believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, keeping count of their sin, keeping count of their shortcomings. It's horrible. That's not of the true God. It's not what Jesus Christ came to do. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Let's start in Let's start in verse 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all what? Kind of makes sense. In that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth know we no man after or according to the flesh. Yea, though we've known Christ according to the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more according to the flesh. There's an ellipsis here where you automatically supply that. We don't know Christ anymore after the flesh. We don't know any man after or according to the flesh anymore. What about yourself? Would that include yourself?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, and it should read, the new is come. Old things are passed away, the new is come. See, and that old was that whole period of time in waiting for God to bring to pass that which he had promised, which was the Christ. 2/3 of the time since Adam had been made up of that time of looking forward to Christ. Isn't that something? And all things are of God, who hath, and the context is all what things?
New
things. Who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Jesus Christ said to Philip, if you've seen me, you've seen who? You've seen the Father. I only do that which I see. I only speak that which I hear of the Father. Jesus Christ always, always did the will of the Father. He never didn't do the will of the Father. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. And then it says, not imputing, same word as in Romans 4, not counting, not reckoning, not keeping score, not keeping a record of their trespasses unto them. Isn't that something? And that committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Because Jesus Christ always did the will of the Father. He always did the will of the Father. And the will of the Father wasn't to keep account of the trespasses. He sent his only begotten Son of the world that he might what? Save. Isn't that something? That's our God. It's laid out so simply and so wonderfully in God's Word. Yeah. 1 John chapter 3. And then we'll close in Ephesians. 1 John chapter 3. Verse 1 says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, and that we should be called the sons of God. And the text reads in the Greek, and we are. Kind of neat. That we should be called the sons of God, and we are. Therefore, the world knows us not, because it what? It knew him not. Now, Jesus Christ said that. He said, look at it. Marvel not if the world hate you. It hated me first. In other words, you're in good company. Right? Okay. So the world didn't know Jesus Christ. Here's the greatest event that has ever occurred in all of history. In all of history. And yet men look at it as what? Well, we don't, but right, the world? It revolves around what Jesus Christ did for them, right? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. When?
Now.
Now. And it doesn't yet appear what we shall be, but we know that. When he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. See? Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And that eternal relationship with our loving Heavenly Father does not begin at the return of Jesus Christ. It begins now. It begins now. It begins now in building your relationship with him. By growing in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. It grows in prayer, especially speaking in tongues. And building that relationship with your Heavenly Father. That's not a little thing. It's now we begin building. Now. We don't wait. Isn't that thrilling? Beloved, now are we the sons of God. See? And I want to go to Ephesians chapter 1. And I'm going to ask you to do something a little different here. I'm going to read some verses, and if you're comfortable doing it, I want you to close your eyes. All right? These are familiar verses. Just close your eyes and just think about what you're hearing. All right? I think it'll bless you. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies, in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him, in love having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he made us accepted in the beloved one, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to the good pleasure which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation or the administration of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who works all things after the counsel of his own will. Isn't that beautiful? Works all things after the counsel of his own will. This was his good pleasure, because he so loved that he gave. That's the God we serve. That's the God we grow in our relationship with. That's the God we pray to. That's the God we look to. That's the God we rely on. And he's faithful. Remember we read, he knows our frame. He knows. Sometimes I just have the toughest time claiming what's mine in Christ. I just do. Do you ever have that? Maybe I'm the only one. But you know what? He knows my frame. I remember a record where a man asked Jesus Christ to heal his boy. And Jesus Christ said to him, if you believe, all things are possible. And the man said, help my unbelief. Help my unbelief. And you know what Jesus Christ did? He must have helped his unbelief, because he ended up healing that boy. So many records like that in God's Word. Just a loving, compassionate Father who cares for his own, who cares for his children. Sometimes we get so caught up in circumstances, so caught up in life, so caught up in the world. It's almost like a frenzy. And it's hard to just get quiet. It's hard to just remember who our God is. It's hard to remember how he works in us. Sometimes it is. That's why sometimes you just gotta take a deep breath. Chillax. See? Pray. Pray. God's not going anywhere. He's right here. He's a professional. Been doing this a long time. And he's faithful. Isn't that awesome? And he gives us good things for our mouths. See? We can speak good things to one another, and we can speak good things to ourselves. Pretty awesome. So, God, we're so thankful to you for your word and for what a loving Heavenly Father you are. So grateful, Father, for your word and for what you've done and accomplished for us through our Lord Jesus Christ. And for what an awesome honor and privilege it is to be called sons of the living God. Thank you for these things, Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.